Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, boys and girls, welcome back to another week of In the Jar with your favorite dumbass, Dupree, myself. That's my last name. Episode 27, we got a good show for you. One unretired NFL veteran is joining SEC Network this fall for SEC football commentary. Caleb Williams is making headlines for his creative tax strategies that have never been seen before on a player. We'll talk more about the Brandon Ayuk trade saga, folks crashing Jake Paul's press conference ahead of should be tonight's fight against Mike Perry, and a fun story about my dog almost leaving a nice hot surprise on the casino floor of the MGM Grand. All this on episode 27. I'll stop running my mouth. Well, I'm going to keep running my mouth just in the actual show. All this in the show this week. Hope y'all enjoy.
All I want to do is where the keys at, keep it easy, way down the way,
Juicy J, mental trillness. I think Juicy J dropped another album recently. He did like a little two for one. It's got a bunch of feet. This new one's got a bunch of features on it. But, you know, I'll tell you the thing about Memphis sound. And I've only been to Memphis one time that I remember. And it was driving from Kentucky to Arizona. So I didn't even stop, but I was listening to Young Dolph all the way through my drive through Memphis. Only thing I really know about Memphis is that there's a school there called MUS. I don't even know what it stands for. I would imagine Memphis U, don't know what it stands for, school. But when I was in ninth grade, I got offered to have my tuition paid to go to a boys' school called McCauley in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so, of course, I go. All boys' school. Cool place, man. Just wasn't working for me at age 14. So, after year one, I dipped out. But we used to always play MUS in football, that school from Memphis. And then there's a thing with the Memphis rap that just, it's got that New Orleans bounce to it, but it's like grungy, and it samples a lot of, you know, like stuff on loop, like I was singing. And you know, Suicide Boys, they're bigger now. You know, they got that sound. They got that kind of, that grunge, that, it's almost like gothic rap, dude. It's fire. It's become one of my favorite genres of music in my early adulthood. I guess, you know, I'm 27. Is that early adulthood? Maybe. I don't know. But I was listening to the Marshall Tucker Band a lot recently. It's like, I guess it's Southern rock.
you know, a little bit of blues, a little bit of twang, right? I was listening to their album, man. It was published and mastered in 1973. And the way these guys were able to blend sounds, I was sitting there thinking, like, damn, these guys must have had a hell of, you know, Marshall Tucker Band, they must have had a hell of an engineer. And then I remember the fact that I looked at the release date and it was 1973. I'm sitting there thinking, golly, man, the amount of things that have changed in the world. You know, I guarantee that those engineers, whoever they were working with in the studio, could have been the band themselves, highly doubt it, were working with much more limited amounts of technology, and they were still able to make it sound a certain way. I'm not a musician, but I would imagine that in order to make it sound like that, you just have to be such a good player of whatever instrument to have such a touch on it that you make stuff sound beautiful. And, you know, with limited technology back then, I'd imagine that's the case because, and again, I'm not a musician. I could be totally wrong about that, but it's just interesting to hear somebody sound like that back in the 70s before you had any type of damn technology. You know what I'm saying? But we're sitting here, episode 27, In the Jar. Kind of an impromptu show here. I ain't got too many clips this week. NFL is starting to report to camp. I think as of the day we're shooting this, the Texans are the first team to fully report to camp. The Texans are also the first team in the league to cut a draft pick from the 2024 draft. It was an offensive lineman. They signed an offensive lineman right away, a veteran. Don't remember his name, don't remember where from, but it was a seventh round pick that they cut, and it was an offensive lineman from Michigan. Apparently the guy was just physically unable to perform. It was like non-football injury. I don't understand. Even spending time working in the league at a facility every day, I still don't understand some of the terminology that goes with player designations. Like, I know PUP is physically unable to perform, injured reserve, and there's different, I think there's different points in the season that they're able to make these designations. I don't know if they're able to put someone on IR in the offseason or not. And then I also don't fully understand the non-football injury designation. It sounds self-explanatory. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm just a jackass. I don't know. But I did spread a little misinformation last week. I was talking about Mike Leach and the air raid offense. When in and I said Mike Leach created the air raid offense. It is partially true, but there's one other guy, Hal Mumme, that I didn't give credit. These two guys coached together at Kentucky, and later my former head coach in college, Chris Hatcher, was the quarterback's coach at Kentucky when Tim Couch was there. Tim Couch was a quarterback that was the only number one overall pick in the history of the University of Kentucky. And so all of those guys were there at the same time. And so it was correct for me to say that Mike Leach created the air raid offense, but in reality, Hal Mumme created the air raid offense, and Mike Leach just kind of co-founded it with him, if that makes sense. But the air raid offense is, I was reading more about it. That's why I kind of wanted to come on here and correct myself. I was reading more about it, and I grossly underestimated, did not give adequate credit to the fact that that offense changed the entire game of football. Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the league by far, it's not even close, was a product of that offense at Texas Tech. Lincoln Riley, a highly regarded head coach, has run that offense with Manziel. He's run it with Kyler Murray. You know, the list goes on and on. So all that to say, and to kind of amend what I was talking about last week on the episode, Mike Leach belongs in the college football. And really, if you want to talk big, like really he belongs at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, even though he didn't coach in the pros. He was kind of socially in a weird place in football from what I read. I never met the guy. He obviously knew my head coach very well, but apparently Mike Leach was in a weird spot socially in the football world because there were folks that marveled at his work, especially younger coaches that marveled at his work and his impact over the game, on the game. And then there were coaches that, you know, he really pissed off because they didn't like that this guy came in with a different idea as to how to call plays, run an offense, and it made him insecure. And so Mike Leach never got a big-time coaching nod other than, you know, some power programs that were kind of neglected. Power conference programs like Mississippi State, Texas Tech. And the things he did at Texas Tech were absurd compared to what to the state of that Texas Tech program beforehand. So just wanted to correct myself there a little bit. I was looking at the show from last week and I was kind of like, based on what I read, there's a couple of amendments to be made. Here's some news. The college conference, so the ACC and the SEC are the latest to strike deals for sideline tablets during football games. So the NCAA approved it. Somehow they're still in power. Probably not going to be much longer. For they approved the technology for in-game video this spring. So the ACC and SEC will use iPads. Big 12 announced it'll use Microsoft Surface devices. That wasn't something that I noticed college football lacked. So when I saw that, I was like, damn, we're coming along, you know. But obviously the NFL, they've had that for years. They got the Microsoft services everywhere. Every damn body on an NFL sideline is walking around with a damn Microsoft Surface. But that's going to be happening in college football. You got tablets on the sideline in game. Can you imagine? I mean, when I was playing or practicing, however you want to look at it, when I was part of a college football program, I really started, we would watch film in high school, but it wasn't emphasized. I'll just say that, you know, when you're a young kid like that, 14 to 18 years old, you just go out and play. The coaches make some calls, not to say there's no playbook in high school, but in college you get there and film and meetings, that is the There's so much time spent in meetings watching film. And I remember how much I hated watching film, but I remember how much it helped. I really hated watching film because I was scared I was going to get exposed. But I was always really surprised at how much I would learn from each film session, despite how painful it was. And so I can only imagine you bring tablets to the sideline on college football, you're able to look at the film from the last series. Obviously, the NFL has been doing this for years, and I'll never understand what it takes to be a pro player in that regard. I could only imagine the film study is much, much, much more strenuous. But being able to come to the sideline, take a look at the tablet, be like, oh, shit, I messed up here. I missed an assignment here. I got to stick my hand in a different way here, get off the block a different way there, and be able to make those adjustments in real time instead of going the whole game without making an adjustment courtesy of the eye in the sky. So I thought that was cool. Kirby Smart revealed that Georgia's NIL collective has been issuing fines to players for driving violations. So, obviously, Georgia players have been going viral lately on Twitter because they keep getting DUIs. I don't know what it is over there. My buddy Lewis was a part of that program. And it's a well-run program, but it just seems like the guys over there like to have a good time. They like to let the hair down. They work hard. They hit hard. They run fast. And they like to have a good time. Driving under influence ain't a good thing. So that's a step toward accountability that I'm sure will help the state of the program. It's also...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Making the college game a lot more like a professional, a pre-professional experience. Because, and I've talked about this, like college football, it really is a job. It is a job. And on top of that, you got grades to make, you got tests to take, you got studying to do. So, you know, treating these guys like professionals, I know there's a lot of opinions on this, less so than there were when the NIL era started, less critics, I mean. But when you treat it like a professional, when you say, okay, I got dollars on the line, I got the well-being of others on the line, I'm talking financially, as a college football player, I think it's going to help hold guys to a higher standard in regards to how they carry themselves. And I think that's a good thing. You know, when you make something professional, when you're making it official, you're saying, I'm serious about showing up to whatever it is, it's my craft every day. And I'm held to a standard of, I got to get the job done. And I think that there's been a lot of positive developments as a result of NIL and college football. I think there are some detractors, but I think there's less detractors than there are, you say protractors? Yeah, I don't know. Protractor, I think about a damn thing that you used to use in damn geometry class and be like, okay, what's the degree of this? Anyway, so that's good. That's some news here. Let's see what else I picked up today. That damn national anthem, boy. Y'all see that damn national anthem at the home run derby? I guess they're having it in Atlanta this year. I'm talking baseball with the All-Star game. This country, I don't know who to call a country singer, who not to with some of these folks, but country singer Ingrid Andress, that ain't the most country sounding name I've seen, but she sang a national anthem the other night at the home run derby. That damn, son, damn. She apparently was hammered out of her mind and posted on Instagram, not just a story, but a real deal post saying, hey, I'm checking into rehab. I hear it's fun. I was hammered last night. That was you know, I don't even know what to say about it. She's got a long pedigree of success and has received 4 Grammy nominations. I hadn't heard of her. Caused a palpable stir within the stadium, and then it went viral as one of the most poorly received performances at a major sporting event. Yeah, that's damn tragic. I don't know. I mean, you got the national anthem, you get nervous, and you get a little too drunk. Throwback to that damn clip that we had from the show of damn talking about Calvin Johnson smoking before a football game, smoking pot, and then you smoke a little too much. Calvin Johnson never had his performance altered by marijuana on the football field, but apparently alcohol is a different story. I always think about that damn pitcher for the Pirates. I think it was in the 60s or 70s. They threw a perfect game on acid, I want to say. Acid or mushrooms. I think it was acid because it's like a holy shit type thing. But yeah, playing under pressure. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But in that case, maybe alcohol, not the best substance to use. I don't know. I've never sang a damn national anthem before. Bucket list type deal. Three ideas. When one worldview dominates your thinking, you'll try to explain every problem you face through that worldview. Read widely and realize there are many answers. Especially when you got damn algorithms reinforcing your beliefs based on behavior on social media. Because obviously you only going to like, you only going to share, you only going to save and watch stuff that you like, that you believe in. I've been there before where I see something I know I'm going to disagree with. So guess what? It's bang, bang. Yeah, that's real deal. I guess reading books. I got to be better about reading damn books at night. Because it is fun. You just got to, it's like everything else you won't get good at. You won't get good at reading other people's perspectives. You got to start reading what you like to make it easy, make hard things easy. You know, second idea, a great relationship is not only finding the person you have fun with, but also finding the person you want to be bored with. The beauty of long-term relationships is often hidden in boring, ordinary moments. I think you know when you're comfortable, romantic or not. I think you know you're comfortable hanging with someone when, let's say, you're driving down the road and there's nothing to talk about. And you're just comfortable sitting in silence with whoever. It's harder in groups, especially because, you know, the more people you add into a hangout, the more thoughts are flowing through everyone's head, the more apps someone's going to pop in and throw something out there. And that's cool. But, you know, I think I was riding in the car with my lady. And she's got, we had some friends in the car and couldn't go 5 seconds without, you know, someone trying to say something. And I was sitting there counting how long. That's, you know, I probably shouldn't have done that, but it was crazy. It's like, you know, how comfortable are you? I know that, you know, some of the folks in the car were probably, and we're getting to know them still, you know, you could tell the folks in the car were maybe not as comfortable to just sit in silence. You know what I'm saying? But back to the romantic part. It's like me and Allie, like, we'll go a whole 20-minute, 25-minute drive without saying a word. Just have a good-ass time listening to music. And I think that's the way any good, comfortable hangout with someone should go. You know, you shouldn't feel damn impelled to fill the silence every couple months. I mean, even on the damn phone, I'm cold calling folks every day around Phoenix trying to build our business. And there were a couple calls I had today, man, where I introduced myself and then they're waiting for me to say something else. And it's like, no, I'm gonna let you respond. I like to do that on when I'm on the phone in a sales situation with someone. I like the silence. A lot of salespeople avoid silence at all costs. They feel like they try to fill it. And the reason I know that is because I've been there. You know, I fill all my silence now on this damn show. Yeah, you know, talking about. But I think it shows confidence when you're willing to sit in silence. Maybe I've talked about that before on here. I don't know. I think I have. But the mundane stuff, having fun, dusting your flow, having fun framing a damn picture, having fun watching me play NCAA 25, baby. Let's go. I'll tell you what, man, that damn game, NCAA 25, I'm getting cooked. I'm getting my ass whipped on that damn NCAA 25 right now. I'm hopping online and I'm sitting here wondering, am I this bad or are the folks playing really good? You know, cause I bought the damn MVP bundle from EA Sports. It's got, I don't even understand. It's got all the bells and whistles. You get the Ultimate Team stuff. And I originally with the Ultimate Team stuff on NCAA, I was like, man, I ain't got time to build all that. But then sure enough, I find myself jumping on Ultimate Team, spending some damn coins that I got from the MVP bundle to buy some new players. Because I played that first game, man, and made no upgrades to my team. It was like a 69 overall. And I mean, boy, I would hand the ball off. The gap would be right there. Boy, slower than damn molasses. Couldn't hit the gap. Gets hit for a 3-4 yard loss. So I go on there and I finally took advantage of all the packs that came with the bundle I bought. Didn't understand it at first. Just didn't. Maybe I'm a dumbass. I don't know. But I didn't understand all the... It was listing all the perks in the MVP bundle. I was like, what is that? What is that? What is that? So I finally take advantage. I get, you know, a throwback Joe Burrow at quarterback pretty far. Like 83, 84 overall. Build it out a little bit. I start playing, man. And still getting cooked. Dude, online. And Allie, my lady, she's been watching me play. And, you know, go through life. I know I'm a goofball on the show here, but go through life, you know. I'd like to think I'm a 5 or 6 on the stoic scale out of 10. Vast improvement over the years. But, you know, conservatively, I want to go higher, but there's always room to go. And on a stoic scale, I'm probably a 5 or 6. You know, stoic in 60% of situations, that's not bad. I'm justifying my self-rating in real time. But Allie was watching me play NCAA 25 online, and I'm just not stoic. Not stoic. And I think it kind of surprised her. she was like, oh, you really care about this damn game, huh? And I was like, yeah, because I'm playing another person. And I don't like losing. I don't like losing. I sound like, I feel like a damn, you know, I'm sitting here saying, get your biscuit butt in the damn gap, boy. Come on. Get up in there. Go on. Think I should get involved with the high school football program around here so I can do that in real life. I think it would be a lot of fun. Give back to some young cats, you know. But we're going to start streaming NCAA 25, I think, once a week, probably Monday of next week. So if you're seeing this on Saturday, 2 days from now, maybe Wednesday, we'll see. I'll post something. But, you know, it's a fun game. The gameplay's good. Everybody thought it was going to be a reskin of Madden, myself included. And, you know, I will say the gameplay of NCAA 25 is a lot different than what Madden's looked like. Madden's always kind of looked stiff. There are some glitches. There are some – and I've seen a couple of glitches in NCAA, actually just one. I added Travis Hunter to my ultimate team, and he's supposed to have these – you can tell he's supposed to have these long dreads coming off the back of the jersey. But then when you see the replay, he's running the ball from the games I played, and it's like translucent, like half dreads floating off. So you think in 2020 foe that the video game developers will have that figured out, but guess not. But yeah, man, we're going to stream NCAA 25. Madden comes out next month. That'll be really fun. Hopefully they may.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Some of the same improvements in Madden that they did on the NCAA game, I would think. Wouldn't y'all? I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, we'll be playing with, I tell you, man, on the NCAA game, I have a strict SEC bias. And I judge anyone that doesn't use SEC teams. I shouldn't. I do. And they still have been beating me, which pisses me off. It's funny, man. I was getting just cooked, and I think Allie was getting a little annoyed because it was dinner time and I played an extra game that I shouldn't have. And I, you know, when I'm playing football games on video games online, I don't quit. I don't quit because it's like, number one, it's a video game. Number two, it's football. And you never know what can happen. That's why you play the next play. But I was getting cooked so bad, and it was dinner time. So I got up to microwave my dinner meal prep, and I was on defense, and it was the start of the series, first down. And I was getting beat so bad, you know, I just walked away. And the game was still playing. Sure enough, got them to fourth down. They go for it. And that's the other thing with the NCAA game I'm noticing a lot is folks go for it on fourth a lot. They don't kick field goals a lot, which the second one I understand, kicking field goals in NCAA 25 is really hard. It's really hard. But got them to fourth down. Couldn't play defense the whole game. I walk away. not touching the controller, auto defense, get him to fourth down, and sure enough, I get a pick. So I thought that was funny. But anyway, third idea. Some projects benefit from early action. If you're writing a book, it's easy to spend a lot of time brainstorming titles and dreaming up an outline. But it's better to simply write. The book discovers itself as you go, kind of like this show. Yes, you'll need to go back and organize things, but this is easier to do once you have material. The key is to act first and then organize your thinking. Other projects benefit from early planning. The best way to build a skyscraper is to plan carefully. If you start placing steel beams on day one, you're guaranteed to run into problems. It is harder to make changes once you've begun. You'll need to tear it down and start over again. The key is to organize your thinking and then act. Do you need early action or early planning? And I think that example with the skyscraper is a good one to say, hey, you know, we do need to get in here and plan sometimes. But I think on the big picture of things, if you're just looking everyday life, looking for something to apply with that little snippet, I think, and I'm biased, because a lot of the things I do, I really believe, like this, like my work that I do during the day, like a lot of other stuff, like, you know, training at night, you got to just show up. Planning's going to hurt you. You know, if I try to plan out what I'm going to say on every phone call, it's going to take too long for me to get enough calls off that I need to get in order to find people that are interested. I think it's productive sometimes, but with moderation. And then with this, man, like, I'll tell y'all straight up, I turn on this damn camera, I press record on the audio, and we just sent it through today. There have been times where I've been shooting this show, and I'm so hell-bent on finding clips to show on the show here that I'll spend like half a day scrolling social media. And it's justified because I'm not just scrolling to waste my brain away. I'm scrolling to find material for the show. But the ironic part about that is when I'm scrolling to look for material on social media for the show, it eludes me every time. And then the second I stop caring about finding good material, sure enough, comes through and you find it. But all that to say, I'm kind of on, and I try to stay away from oversimplifying. I try to stay away from, you know, saying this is black, this is white, because that is a big psychological bias in us humans, we humans. But I tell you what, man, I am a big proponent of early action. Try to back that up with my actions. All right. So away from this, we got anything else on the email inbox? No. So let's do this. Okay. Some football news. Randall Cobb, who is not retired technically from the NFL, has joined SEC Network for 2024 college football season. This is cool, man. Randall Cobb is one of the most monumental figures in my early life. I remember watching Randall Cobb, I think it was like 2011, somewhere in there. He's been in the NFL for a long ass time. But being a kid in Lexington, Kentucky, while Randall Cobb was playing for the University of Kentucky, a lot of people don't know this, but Randall Cobb came into University of Kentucky as a quarterback, and he threw left-handed. He's from Alcoa, Tennessee. And as a lot of great athletes who come into a college program do, they started to realize his talent in other areas of the offense, and they would utilize him in wildcat. They would motion him out to the slot and motion another quarterback in. They would do all these things, and the guy was a playmaker. I remember one time, man, this memory's hitting me as I damn go here on this episode of In the Jar, but my parents had season tickets my whole life until I started, you know, being able to go on visits in high school, and they weren't interested in going, so, you know, they stopped getting the season tickets when I was in high school, because I would just get the tickets as a recruit. They weren't serious about my ass, but that's a whole another story. I remember one time I was probably 13, 14 years old, and we went to a game. It was the University of Kentucky against Arkansas, and I think there have been a couple of Kentucky-Arkansas long-ass overtime game. I think there was a game between Kentucky and Arkansas that went for 7 overtimes, something like that. It was in 2003. Went into 7 overtime periods. NCAA record for the longest football game ever played at one time. I'm really rambling right now, but that's the point. But I remember another game, and I'm trying to remember what year it was. Was it 11? This is the game that I was talking about. So I remember, this is my memory of Randall Cobb at Kentucky. I was being a kid in Lexington, Kentucky, you know, he was the man. And so Kentucky trailed 17-0 in the third quarter before punching back with a 71-yard touchdown reception by Alphonso Smith, dude. Alphonso Smith was a speedy running back that played at Kentucky during the same time as Randall Cobb. He was number 29. I remember he had a short pro career. He spent some time with the Cardinals. I think he made the team for a couple of years. But anyways, he was so freaking fast. And I remember another guy, 41 for Kentucky, a running back, Derek Locke. I think he was earlier. But, you know, I'm a damn Kentucky football historian. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm going to get to the point. UK was down 27 with less than 5 minutes to play when Randall Cobb took over. Cobb caught touchdowns from 32 and 21 yards in 2 minutes of game time to give Kentucky a 21-20 victory and hand Petrino his first career loss to the Cats. So the reason I remember that game so well is because my dad cared so much about Kentucky football. It was a big part. It's a big part of his life too. And so when UK would go down, my dad would want to leave the game. He would want to leave all the time. I remember in 07 when Kentucky beat LSU, when LSU was number one, they ended up winning the national title that year. That game went into 3 overtimes, and LSU was up like 7. I don't want to give out misinformation. They were up at least 2 scores, and my dad left. My mom and I stayed, and obviously Kentucky ended up winning that. But my memory of Randall Cobb was I was sitting in the damn car listening to that game on the radio because my dad and I left early. My dad left, so I left with him. And I remember listening to those Randall Cobb touchdowns on the radio, 630 WLAP in Lexington, Kentucky. And so that's my memory of Randall Cobb. So it'll be cool to see him on SEC Network talking about SEC football. It's really exciting knowing that college football is coming up in a month here. But what else? Willie Anderson, who played offensive line for the Bengals when I was a kid as well. We're getting into some deep childhood core here. Willie Anderson was a right tackle, and he has not yet made the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best offensive linemen in the league for a long time. And he blames the Blind Side movie for his ongoing Hall of Fame snub, saying basically the point of the Blind Side movie was to emphasize the importance of the left tackle position, which, you know, maybe influenced the amount of dollars that left tackles are getting paid. He talks about in the article how it's starting to even itself out. You know, you look at a guy like Penny Sewell and you see guards like him getting paid what they're due. But Willie Anderson was basically saying that right tackles don't get as much love and that right tackles are just as important as left tackles. Fair take. I don't want to say that I don't really like when someone goes and blames something else for something that is going on in their life. I don't know if I said that right. External factors shouldn't matter, in my opinion, on matters like that. Let's see. Best cornerbacks in the league. There's articles around that. Patrick Surtain. Surtain, Denzel Ward, Sauce Gardner, top three corners in the league. I think that's justified. And then we look at Brandon Ayuk demanding a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. Will it happen? Apparently the Steelers are eyeing him pretty tight. And according, I believe it was from Pro Football Focus, Brandon Ayuk was the top graded receiver last season on film. So that was interesting. Caught me by surprise, but not really. I'd argue going into camp that Ayuk's going to play for the San Francisco 49ers. But how crazy would it be for Ayuk to go to Pittsburgh and play in the AFC North? Odell Beckham Jr. told me that AFC North football is a different kind of football. It's physical. It's grueling, especially for a receiver when you're running cross routes, running slants right into the teeth of a AFC North linebacker core. Odell told me it was grueling, and that's why he wasn't going back to Baltimore. Part of why I don't want to spread misinformation here, but he did mention that when I talked to him. What else? Bill Belichick fully invested in NFL coaching return in 2025. So I'd bet, based on coaching cycles and rotation in that regard within the league, that he's probably going to take a job at a organization that underperforms this year, fires their coach. What if we saw a Bill Belichick mid-season, 2024 mid-season return to head coaching? Hear me out. Carolina Panthers? That's my hot take. Bill Belichick takes a mid-season coaching vacancy in 2024. I love Bill Belichick in the booth. I wish he would call some games. I love his analysis on the Pat McAfee show. He's fully invested in NFL coaching return in 2025. Let's see. NFL refused to allow Caleb Williams tax moves. Chicago Bears rookie star quarterback. This is a live reading. First one on the show today. Fully signed his rookie contract this week after a long delay. It seems that the delay is a result of the rookie attempting some rather creative tax strategies, but the NFL seems to have shut them down. Caleb Williams tried some interesting strategies to limit the amount of tax that he paid on his income. For example, multiple sources tell PFT that there was an attempt to get Williams paid as an LLC. The collective bargaining agreement doesn't seem on the surface to foreclose that approach, but the league decided that it does. Bears were told by the NFL that the player's money can't go to a business entity other than the player. there's two sides to that, because if they don't explicitly state it in any type of rules or documentation, maybe they do. I haven't read this whole article through. But if they don't explicitly state it, how can you say that you can't get paid as an LLC? But then on the other side, it doesn't sound like something that's ever been done before. So feasibly, how realistic is that to say, oh, yeah, you get this special treatment because you came up with a bright idea? I don't know. Sometimes the world works like that, but in this case, not. Another approach emerged from the concept of a forgivable loan, which would have resulted in Williams getting the money tax-free till the loan was forgiven as many as 10 years into the future. The Bears, through the NFL, also nixed that possibility. I wonder if he's got an advisor or Caleb Williams. I wonder if he's got an advisor or a CPA in his corner, kind of funneling him these different strategies. And here's the thing, right? In the era of NIL, you're just going to have athletes coming from the college game that are going to be, dare I say, a bit more business savvy than they have been in the past, just generally, right? I'm not saying players aren't business savvy, but I'm saying that because of NIL and being able to engage in business practices as a player in college, you're naturally going to have guys that come into the league and are already a bit sharp to strategies like Caleb Williams was trying to implement. It's obvious they nixed it. It's not even really a conversation past. It's not happening. But I like that players are trying to get creative. I don't think he's trying to get special treatment, regardless of his status coming out of college. But Caleb Williams, nonetheless, trying to do LLCs and forgivable loans to pay less tax to Uncle Sam, dude. And I don't know about Illinois. It really doesn't matter. One thing I learned about the NFL is that you get taxed by state in each state that you play in. So I'd imagine an NFL player's CPA has got their work cut out for them at the end of a season. And then I also don't know how much these organizations withhold on a player's pay stub. Like, do they withhold for them? I'd imagine they do, because they're not 1099 employees, to my knowledge. I should probably know that. I think that NFL players are W-2 employees. Somebody comment here and let me know if I'm right or wrong on that. First deal. What are they playing? Go fish? They're definitely gambling. Let's put it down. That's got to be go. That's me putting the damn card on the table.
I don't need him.
Yeah. He said, yeah. Put that damn thing on the table. That's what I got, baby. You know what I'm talking about? That's, man, I remember one time I was in, I made an impromptu, this is a perk of living in Phoenix, Arizona. I made an impromptu trip to Las Vegas, Nevada a couple years ago, like 2 or 3 days before Christmas. And I brought my dog, Jasper. He's a service animal, so I can kind of take him anywhere. And it was just me and him, man. It's kind of sad, really. I went to Vegas to go gamble, and I sat down at the damn poker table. Poor guy, man. Poor Jasper. I would go downstairs to play poker and leave him up in the room at the MGM, because when I brought the damn dog in to the casino, because you got to walk through the casino floor to get to your damn room at most places, if not all. Jasper is a good guy, but he gets pissed off, and sometimes, and he's totally potty trained, aside from a couple of other nightmare scenarios. This one was almost a nightmare scenario where me and Jasper were walking through the casino floor at the MGM, and here's the thing about the dog, right? He I think he feels carpet, you know, casino carpet floor. I think he thinks that carpet is similar to grass or turf. And so we're walking to the casino floor. You guys can probably derive where I'm going with this. But and I think he was pissed off because he didn't know where he was, maybe a little stressed out. And he starts arching his butt towards the floor, getting ready to take it. Shit. And I said, brother, there's a trillion. I yanked his ass. I said, we going to walk through here. You ain't doing that. There's 1,000 damn cameras. They going to pick up my face. They going to say, you brought a damn dog in here. And he took a shit on the casino floor at the MGM Grand. Get the hell out of our building. Get the hell out of our establishment. Get the hell off the premises. He didn't shit. And we got him up there. But I was playing some poker, man. And, I don't play too much poker all the time. I know how to play. I made some money on this fateful day that I played. Ironically, I think I spent like 2 hours at the table and made like $40. So we're getting paid $20 an hour. That's cool. And, there's a guy sitting next to me. This is when everybody's wearing masks. So I couldn't see his face fully. And it's kind of an advantage in the COVID. I think maybe this will reach gambling TikTok or gambling part of the internet. I don't condone it. I believe in disciplined investing on behalf of everybody, myself included. But sometimes you go and have a little fun, sit down at the poker table. I have my mask on. I have my damn sunglasses on so no one could see a single expression on my face. And the guy next to me included. And I guess I did something that, you know, wasn't etiquette or what, it wasn't good etiquette. And this guy sitting next to me is just kind of like, you can't see his face, but you can kind of tell he's getting pissed off. He's kind of like, and all I wanted to do is just like slam my card down on the table like that, fell in the damn clip. Ended up winning the hand. Guy gets up and leaves. I said, we'll see you. Next deal.
Muneño Media Group, I just want to ask Mike Perry, how are you going to feel when you're laying down on the ground and Jake makes you say,
shoot, Papi Muneño. We're not doing this. Don't answer that. That's bullshit. We're not doing that. Every time with this stuff, why does this happen every time? I don't like it. We're not doing it. Go ahead.
That's what you're gonna get. You're gonna get. I don't even know. I mean, I know how, kind of how a fight press conference works at this point, but it's Jake Paul fighting, dude. Like he's performed. He's proved himself for the most part to this point. He's fighting Mike Perry. Probably as we're shooting this, by the time you see this, I think the fight will be tonight, Saturday the 20th. But Ariel's getting pissed off. I saw a couple. The reason I saw this is, you know, an MMA buddy of mine that's kind of in the whole world of MMA posted about it, was like, you know, mad, and Ariel was mad, and I get why they're mad, because it kind of undermines the integrity of, you know, the fights, and I get it, but it's, at the end of the day, it is Jake Paul. Jake Paul is a guy that people know, if they're around him, if they're making content. I mean, that damn clip, we're showing it, right? I saw it. It's going around. Folks like that Chupapi Muneño guy know that if they go to the presser and they do that, they're going to get looked at. They're going to get views, respectfully or not. You know, I don't particularly respect somebody that clickbaits, but I get there's a business side to this whole making content thing. I just like to talk about what I like talking about, and that's the whole deal. But I do love that guy's videos. He walks up on people. It's totally clickbaity, dude, but it gets me, and he walks in, Chupapi Muneño. Chupapi. And he gets people, like, he gets like a damn... yeah, whatever. It's not a megaphone, but it like amplifies the sound and gets in someone's ear. Choo-pop. I like it. I like saying it. I enjoy hearing it. It's fun. It's funny to me. But yeah, you're just going to, if it's a Jake Paul fight, you're going to get bullshit like that. So it's like Ariel, I get why he's getting mad. Helwani, I get why he's getting mad. But, you know, it's par for the course with an event like that. And Mike Perry, I'll tell you, Mike Perry is a bad guy. That guy has zero regard for his physical well-being. And honestly, I'd love to be in a place like that where I ain't worried about getting hit. But, you know, when I'm sparring, man, when I'm in training, and there's a young buck kind of letting it loose on me, I'll pause around and be like, brother, you know, I got people to talk to. I got, you know, this ain't my livelihood. You know, can you dial it back on me a little bit? Yeah. I try to give guys good rounds, but at the end of the day, it's like, whew, if only I could go back, be 19, 20, and, you know, not care about getting hurt or not, and just go in there and let it rip. Maybe, you know, maybe there's a lot of guys around me building fighting careers, and it's a beautiful thing. So we'll end it at that. This is episode 27 of In the Jar with your boy Dupe. Leave it a like, please. It takes one click. I sounded so thirsty saying that. Like it if you want. Subscribe if we hit you in the chest at any moment. Be a friend. Tell a friend. Send this thing around. Leave a comment. Let me know if I was wrong about anything, because I was wrong about some things last week, and I'll own that. I'll be a man. I'll take responsibility. So we love you. Appreciate you watching. This is In the Jar, episode 27. See you, man.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.